Jesus comes and walks alongside of these disappointed disciples, and maybe that's one way to summarize it. He walks with us. And here's the question I've got. The first place is, what is Jesus doing 7 miles north of Jerusalem on the very day he was raised from the dead?
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. We're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Central North Carolina in a series that we've titled Peace in a Pandemic, the power of seeing the crisis through the eyes of Jesus. Obviously, in the current situation that this whole world is going through, church has had to pivot in general, and especially with the way we worship together, and in most cases, quite virtually. So we're bringing you this very timely series preached just weeks ago by Pastor Alan to his home congregation. We trust it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you to give you strength to endure. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now. Again, very timely for our current situation. It's a CD audio album called Growing Deep in Times of Stress, and these are stressful times. It can be yours for your donation this month to Sharing the Light. As you listen to today's message on the pandemic, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now let's get started with today's teaching, Peace in a Pandemic. Here is Pastor Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? Here it is. Disappointment is inevitable, but despair is optional. We are going to face disappointments, but because of Easter, all those disappointments are swallowed up in ultimate victory. We are going to look at a significant text in Luke chapter 24 that occupies a lot of space, if you think about this, in the whole narrative of Easter that centers on two very disappointed disciples. It's Luke 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem? Does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" What an irony. They think that this Jesus, who they don't recognize, is the ignorant one. They're walking with Jesus. And he said to him, verse 19, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early this morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it to be just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart.'" Foolish ones, that's probably not the right language. It's a little strong. He means it's not Jesus condemning them. It's more of Jesus saying, almost like he's surprised that they don't get it. "So you're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they're going, and he acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him to stay strongly, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And then they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered. They told them all these things that they had experienced." we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped. That's the language of disappointment. We all know the refrain during this season of global pandemic. Many hopes that have been dashed or set aside, big ones and little ones. The worst of which, of course, is those that have suffered and sick and some that have died. But we all have all these disappointments. It's Easter Day. We had hoped that we would have our big Easter party like usual. I wish you could see what my wife does for Easter. It's like Christmas in our household. She spends half the year preparing these big Easter baskets for everyone. It's just stuffed full of all kinds of things that the kids just open up. It's like present after present on Easter Day. We always have the whole big crowd there. We always go out and get the big family picture. Everybody, all the cousins are there, and then there's an Easter egg hunt we have in the backyard, and the little ones get the eggs, but everybody gets an egg that's got a special coin in it, and you can decide whether to get the coin and hold on to it or turn it in for your basket, and everybody gets the basket, and we have a big feast, and we usually have about 30 people at this all over. It's a big day, and it won't be happening like that this year. We had hoped, but it's not going to be like that. We had hoped that my niece, Mary Grace Budd, would be able to carry on with her wedding as planned, but it'll have to be much smaller. It'll have to be much different, the May wedding that she'd been so looking forward to. We had hoped. And we had hoped, I speak for Baylor Nation, we had hoped that it was the year for the Baylor Bear men's basketball team to maybe win it all. They were number one, Duke's down here at 8, they were number one for longer than any other team this year. They were likely to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. They had something of a chance to win it all this year. Oh, we had hoped. There's so many, many different ways that we experience disappointment. And I want to just look at the question today. What does Jesus do to help us and heal us in our times of disappointment? When we're hurting and we're disappointed, how does Jesus help us? How does he heal us? That's what I want to talk about in a time of so much disappointment. You know, the first thing I notice is this, that Jesus comes and walks alongside of these disappointed disciples, and maybe that's one way to summarize it. He walks with us. And here's the question I've got in the first place is, what is Jesus doing 7 miles north of Jerusalem on the very day he was raised from the dead? That's what the text says. On some dusty road to Little Emmaus, we're not really exactly sure where that is now, on two disciples, one who's not named, the other is obscure, and Jesus is there with them. I mean, what would you be doing if you were Jesus and you had just been raised from the dead? I can tell you what I'd be doing. I'd probably be on the temple steps in Jerusalem and saying, "Here I am, everybody, I'm alive," you know, wherever the most people could see you, or maybe make a little visit to the governmental offices of Pontius Pilate and say, "Hey, Pontius, I'm back." Or maybe the chief scribes and Pharisees and all who had condemned him and turned him over to the Roman authorities to be crucified. Maybe you go and have a little conversation with them. Say, "Do you want to talk about that trial that we had a little while ago?" Yeah. I could think of a lot of things that I would be doing, but Jesus wanted to walk along with these disciples, and he doesn't just come alongside of them and immediately do what I would do and blurt out, "Hey, pick up your chins, you know, chins up, everybody. I'm alive. It's Jesus. This is who I am." He doesn't do that. He walks with them, and they urge him to stay for dinner, and he stays. The only conclusion that I can come to from all of this is that Jesus likes to walk with people in their disappointment. He isn't scared of your grief. He is acquainted with grief. He's not turned off by disappointment. He understands it. Some of his best friends on earth disappointed him.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
You know, there are many different kinds of disappointments, circumstances that don't work out the way that you hope. Events in your life, you'd hope it would be a certain way. Sometimes you're disappointed in your own life, your own performance. But we've all experienced this pain, and it may be the most painful, and that's when you're disappointed in a person. And really, that's what was going on here. It sounds stark, but these disciples were disappointed in the person of Jesus. Look at the text again. He said to them, "What things?" And they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." What are they saying? They're saying, "We're disappointed that Jesus is not what we hoped he was going to be." Is disappointed in a person. What are you disappointed about? What are your disappointments during these days of such world crisis? What are your disappointments in life? Be honest with God. There's something about disappointment that's a lot like grief. You don't go around it, you go through it. And when you're honest with God about your disappointments, there's a way in which you invite him in, much like Jesus promised, "Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted." Let Jesus into the center of your conversation. Let him into your heart when you're disappointed. Because the presence of love will make all the difference. Years ago, I served a church in Durham, North Carolina, and there was a matriarch. I'll call her Margaret. She was 85, and she was a woman of God. She was precious. She was powerful in the spirit. She was, in many ways, a simple person, but deep. And she was the one who had invited me. She said, "Pastor, I think the older people aren't studying the Bible enough. If I open up my home to do a Bible study, would you come over and lead a Bible study?" I went over to Margaret's apartment for a year and led a group of older people in a study of the Gospel of John. I loved Margaret. One night she called me up and she said, "Pastor, I need to tell you something that I need you to hold in strict confidence." I said, "Well, that's what I do, Margaret." And she said, "Well, I'm just going to tell you." She said, "I've won a lot of money." I said, "Margaret, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, I've won the publisher's sweepstakes." And immediately, you know, came to mind that image of somebody handing you a big check at the door. And that's what she was telling me about. She said, "It's at least $10 million. $10 million, Margaret?" I said, "She says, yes, it may be more. It may be $20 million. And she said, "The reason I'm calling you," and she's so sweet, this is her heart. She said, "I'm calling you because I'm going to tithe off of this, and I want you to go ahead and be thinking about what the church needs to do with all of this money. And I said, well, Margaret, I ought to come over there and let me see what the mailings that you've received and all. I wanted her to know I was with her, but I also wanted to go look at those mailings because I've seen them. I know that they look like in the large print, it looks like you've won, but in the fine print, you haven't won. I went over the next day. She handed me a folder of all these different mailings she had received. And sure enough, it looked like she'd won. And the notes were progressively looking more and more like she'd won. It almost stated that she'd won. But if you read the fine print, you realize they were all still advertisements and she hadn't won anything. It broke my heart to have to tell her, Margaret, I hate telling you this, but as I read these, I don't think they indicate that you've actually won anything. We talked about it for a while, and she just didn't really catch on to what I was saying. She thought she'd won. She quit talking to me about it very much because she knew that I was skeptical of it. And some weeks went by. And one night she called, and she said, Pastor, tomorrow's the day. I said, what do you mean? She said, they're coming tomorrow. At 10 a.m. Did somebody call you and tell you this, Margaret? No, she said, but that's what I've been able to figure out from the mail. She said, it's tomorrow at 10. She said, I know that you haven't really believed this, but Pastor, if you and Ann would be there, it would mean the world to me. I just want you to be there when they bring that check. And I said, well, I'm going to come. And we went, not because I believed they were going to bring her a check, but because I wanted to be there when it didn't come. You know that part of being a pastor where you just want to do some warfare on behalf of the flock. And I just didn't want her to be alone with the tempter coming to shame her and put her into a dark place of disappointment. We went over, and when we knocked on the door at 10 a.m., a little bit before it, her niece was there with the video camera going. She was so sure that somebody was knocking on the door with a check. We said, it's just us. We went inside and we talked. We talked for an hour. We talked for 2 hours. And it became apparent nobody was coming. And so I said, Margaret, I tell you what, how about let's go to Old North Carolina Barbecue, one of your favorite places, and we'll have us a nice lunch. And we did. My wife and I and Margaret and her niece, we went over to Old North Carolina Barbecue, ate some barbecue and hush puppies and drank some sweet tea. And we talked about life and the goodness of God, and we talked about how much we loved the Lord and the good things that he's done, and we didn't talk about the sweepstakes. And we took her back to the apartment, and as we dropped her off, I said, Margaret, I said, I'm concerned about you. I said, this is a big disappointment. And she said, Pastor, I'm 85, and I've been through many disappointments, and the Lord has been faithful to us and all. She smiled, and she really was okay. And I think it was that day that I realized if you were to win $10 million and had not love, you'd be a very poor person. But if you thought you were going to win and had won zero, but had the love of God through the people of God in your life, you're very rich indeed. Jesus isn't scared of your disappointment. He'll come and walk with you in it. He will grieve with you. He will stay with you. He'll commune with you. He'll have dinner with you. He understands. And what we need most in our times of disappointment is not necessarily an answer, but the presence of God. His love changes everything. But Jesus was going to do more than love them in the midst of their disappointment. He was going to bear witness of something greater and higher. That's one of those words we use kind of Christianese, to bear witness, because we don't have a better way of saying it, that there's some way that the Spirit of God can commune with your heart, can communicate to you, can relate to you something that you had not seen, but that through revelation, through an opening of your spiritual eyes, that you'll be able to see. And so in a very real sense, Jesus stayed with them them because he not only wanted to empathize with their disappointment, but he wanted to help lead them to even better dreams. What's interesting is that the disciples had not dreamed too much. They dreamed too little. I think one of the ways that we try to deal with disappointment is that we try sometimes to protect our hearts by just not getting our hopes up.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light. And today's teaching, We Had Hoped, Seeing Disappointment Through Jesus' Eyes. This is from our series, Peace in a Pandemic, The Power of Seeing the Crisis Through the Eyes of Jesus. And Pastor Alan is back with us in just a moment with a closing thought today.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. Well, Pastor Alan, it's not been that long ago since we celebrated Easter in probably the most unique and for some, maybe even a disappointing way. We couldn't do all the normal traditional things, including sunrise services and assembling. And as a preacher of the gospel, I know it was disappointing not to be able to look out over a sea of a congregation.
Daniel, it was something I would have never dreamt of, to not have Easter in person with the people of God. But what God has been doing during this, through this ministry and ministries all over the world, is nothing short of astounding. We are having unprecedented numbers of people that are hearing our broadcast, tuning into our sermons, and the same is happening in many churches all over. So here are these disciples on Emmaus Road on the very resurrection day of Jesus, and they are hanging their heads, walking along, and don't realize they're walking with Jesus himself. What an irony. And they said, we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped. And boy, isn't that a refrain that we're hearing a lot during the pandemic. We had hoped. And some of the disappointments that we face are relatively minor, but they still hurt. Our son graduated from law school at home, an online service. Our daughter was going to go on a mission trip to Prague all summer, but it was canceled. All of us could list the disappointments that we've had. These were disappointed disciples, and Jesus is not scared of our disappointment. He walked right with them. He was in the midst of it with them. And something happened, a miracle happened, in which when they saw that Jesus was alive, their eyes were open and they began to see everything differently. This is an invitation to all our listeners to see all of life and certainly this crisis through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ask him, Jesus, how do you see it? He'll give you his eyes and it'll change everything.
Always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional
in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.